This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Advanced Tension Management Frameworks, systemic approaches for HR leaders and senior managers dealing with entrenched organizational conflict. Six battle-tested frameworks for resolving deep-rooted workplace tension with clarity. In short, entrenched organizational conflict does not yield to goodwill or one-off conversations. You need a system you can reach for when pressure strips away your best instincts. Tension management frameworks give you a structured method to diagnose what kind of conflict you are facing before you try to fix it. Different conflicts require different tools. The wrong framework applied with confidence will make things worse, not better. Fluency takes deliberate practice, not just knowledge of the steps. Definition: tension management frameworks are structured systems that HR leaders and senior managers use to diagnose, contain, and resolve entrenched organizational conflict in a repeatable and reliable way. They replace reactive instinct with clear method, giving both parties and the manager a process they can trust. I watched a senior HR director spend 3 weeks doing everything right and still make the situation worse. She listened carefully. She was fair. She gave both parties space to speak. What she did not have was a system. She chose her responses in the moment, and under pressure, her instincts kept defaulting to reassurance when the situation needed confrontation, and confrontation when it needed space. By week four, two capable employees had disengaged completely, and a third had started looking for another job. Advanced tension management frameworks exist precisely for that moment, not because experienced people are incompetent, but because entrenched conflict is specifically designed to overwhelm good instincts. The accumulated history, the competing loyalties, the unspoken power dynamics, all of it conspires to make the most reasonable person reach for the wrong tool. What follows are six frameworks built for exactly this kind of situation. Each one has a specific job. Each one has a moment when it works and a moment when it will let you down. What entrenched conflict actually does to organizational systems. Surface tension is uncomfortable. Entrenched tension is corrosive. The distinction matters because most managers treat deep, systemic conflict with tools designed for shallow friction and then wonder why nothing changes. Entrenched conflict has three defining qualities. It has history. The parties carry a record of grievances that color every present interaction. It has identity. Each party's position has become tied to their sense of professional self, so backing down feels like losing. And it has spread. The tension has almost certainly pooled in bystanders, shaped informal alliances, and affected the team's willingness to raise issues openly. If you are an HR leader or senior manager dealing with organizational conflict of this kind, you already know that a single mediation conversation will not reach it. What you need is a framework, a reliable structure you can apply with confidence, adapt with judgment, and return to when things stall. The six frameworks below give you exactly that range. Framework 1. Interest-based relational mapping. What it is? A diagnostic and dialogue tool that separates what people say they want their positions from what they actually need their interests, then maps the relational history that is keeping those interests hidden. Designed for two-party or small group conflicts where stated positions have hardened, but their underlying needs have never been clearly named. Particularly useful when you suspect the conflict is about recognition, fairness, or autonomy rather than the presenting issue. How it works. Number 1. Map the positions. Ask each party separately to state their position in one sentence. Write it exactly as they give it to you. Do not interpret. Number 2. Surface the interests. Ask each party, if you got exactly what you said you wanted, what would that give you? Repeat until you reach a need rather than a tactic. Number 3. Identify the relational injury. Ask, when did you first feel this working relationship stop being safe? The answer almost always predates the presenting conflict. Number 4. Name the overlap. In most conflicts, at least one underlying interest is shared. Name it plainly to both parties together. You both need to feel respected in front of this team. Number 5. Build from the overlap. Use the shared interest as the starting point for a negotiated agreement on a practical dispute. When to use it? Early to mid-stage conflict, before formal grievances are filed. Works best when both parties are still willing to participate. When not to use it? When one party has already made a formal complaint, or when there is a significant power imbalance that makes joint conversation unsafe for the lower status party. Worked example. Two department heads have been in open conflict for 6 months over resource allocation. Their positions. I need more headcount and I need budget protection. Their underlying interests both need to feel their department is seen as a priority by senior leadership. The shared interest gives the HR leader a place to start a genuinely productive conversation with the business director. Eamon's note. I have used this framework more times than I can count. The moment you name a shared interest out loud, the temperature in the room drops. Not because the problem is solved, but because both people finally feel understood. Framework 2. The conflict escalation ladder. What it is. A diagnostic model that places a conflict at one of five escalation levels, then prescribes the appropriate intervention for that level. It prevents the most common mistake in tension management applying a collaborative resolution tool to a conflict that has already passed the point where collaboration is possible. Designed for any conflict where you need to assess severity before acting. Especially useful when you are new to a situation and others are pressuring you to intervene immediately. How it works. Number 1. Level 1. Friction. A disagreement over a specific issue. Parties can still discuss it directly. Intervention structured conversation. No mediator needed. Number 2. Level 2. Positions. Each party has decided they are right. Language becomes adversarial. Intervention. Interest-based relational mapping or a facilitated dialogue session. Number 3. Level 3. Alliances. Parties have recruited supporters. The conflict has spread beyond two people. Intervention group process. One-to-one approaches will not hold. Number 4. Level 4. Demonization. Each party attributes bad character to the other, not just bad behavior. Trust is functionally broken. Intervention. Trust repair sequence framework 4 before any substantive negotiation. Number 5. Level 5. Destruction. One or both parties want the other to lose more than they want the problem solved. Intervention formal process, possible separation. Collaborative frameworks will not work here. When to use it? Before any other framework. Use this first every time. When not to use it? It is a diagnostic, not a resolution tool. It tells you where you are, not how to get out. Worked example. A manager reports two team members constantly at each other's throats. Using the ladder, the HR leader identifies alliance behavior and language attacking character. Level 4. She does not reach for a joint problem-solving session. She starts with individual trust conversations instead. Eamon's note. The most expensive mistake I see is a capable manager applying a level 2 tool to a level 4 conflict. The ladder saves you from that. Use it first, always. Framework 3. Structured dialogue protocol. What it is. A facilitated conversation system with a fixed sequence and clear rules that prevent the patterns, such as interrupting, deflecting, and escalating, that derail ordinary conflict conversations. It is not a mediation process. It is a structured speaking and listening method that creates conditions for genuine exchange, designed for two-party conflicts at levels 2 or 3 on the escalation ladder, where direct conversation has repeatedly broken down because neither party can stay regulated in the other's presence. How it works. Number 1. Set the contract. Both parties agree to three rules before the session. Speak only for yourself, no interrupting, and no speaking to disprove the other person. Number 2. Open with impact, not blame. Each party completes the sentence. The impact this situation has had on me is you give them a full 2 minutes. No response yet. Number 3. Reflect before responding. The listening party reflects back what they heard. What I heard you say is this step is non-negotiable. It is also where most breakthroughs happen. Number 4. Identify the request. Each party names one specific, behaviorally described change they are asking for. Not I need respect, but I need you to copy me on emails before they go to the client. Number 5. Name what each party will do differently. The facilitator captures both commitments in writing before the session closes. When to use it. When previous conversations have escalated or gone in circles. When both parties are willing to participate, but have lost the ability to listen to each other. When not to use it. When one party has been formally accused of misconduct. Structured dialogue is not an investigation process and must not be used as one. Worked example. Two senior engineers have had three manager-mediated conversations that all ended in raised voices. The HR leader runs a structured dialogue session. For the first time, each engineer hears what the other's day actually feels like. The specific requests that emerge are practical and achievable. for practical guidance on ensuring both voices are genuinely heard during structured sessions. See how to ensure every participant gets heard. Eamon's note: the reflection step feels slow. People resist it. Do it anyway. It is the entire engine of the protocol. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at eamonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Framework 4. The Trust Repair Sequence. What it is: a five-step individual process for rebuilding working trust after a significant relational breakdown, designed to be used before any collaborative resolution attempt at level 4 conflict. Designed for situations where trust between two parties has been genuinely damaged either by a specific incident or by accumulated disappointments. Also valuable after poorly delivered feedback has created a persistent rupture, which is explored in depth in the article on how to use the bridge method to repair a relationship damaged by poorly delivered feedback. How it works. Number 1. Acknowledge the specific injury, not the general situation. The specific moment: what happened in a team meeting on the 14th was not acceptable, and I'm responsible for my part in it. Number 2. Name the impact without minimizing it. I understand that what I did made it harder for you to do your job and damaged how others see your contribution. Number 3. State what you understand now that you did not understand before. This is not an apology loop. It is evidence that something has genuinely changed. Number 4. Make a specific, observable commitment. Not "I will do better." Something the other person can see and measure. Number 5. Create a check-in structure. A brief, regular touchpoint over the following 4 to 6 weeks to confirm the commitment is being kept. When to use it: after any significant relational rupture, especially before bringing two parties back into a shared process. Also effective when a manager has damaged their own relationship with a direct report. When not to use it: when the person who caused the injury is not genuinely willing to acknowledge it. An insincere trust repair sequence causes more damage than no repair attempt at all. Worked example: a department head publicly dismissed a team leader's proposal in front of the full department. The working relationship collapsed. Before any team process could resume, the department head went through the trust repair sequence in a private conversation. The check-in structure over the following month is what made the repair hold. The bridge method offers a complementary structure for this kind of repair work, and you can read how it rebuilds working relationships after tension has created a genuine breakdown. Eamon's note: step 3 is where people cut corners. They want to move to the commitment. Do not let them. The acknowledgement of what changed is what makes the commitment credible. Framework 5. Conflict Containment Protocol. What it is: a group-level framework for preventing entrenched two-person conflict from spreading further into a team or department. It does not resolve the conflict at its source. Its job is to hold the edges while the source conflict is being addressed. Designed for level 3 conflicts, where alliance formation and team-level disruption are already visible. Often used in parallel with one of the other frameworks rather than alone. How it works. Number 1. Map the spread. Identify who has been pulled into the conflict, directly or through gossip, alliance, or forced loyalty. Be specific. Number 2. Name the impact on the team, not the individuals. In a brief team communication, address the elephant in the room. There is tension in this team that is affecting how we work. I am addressing it directly, and I need the rest of us to keep our focus on the work. Number 3. Set a clear behavioral boundary. I am asking everyone to avoid conversations that pull others into this conflict. Come to me directly with concerns. Number 4. Create a visible stability signal. Maintain your regular team structures, meetings, one-to-ones, project rhythms. Cancelling these signals panic. Keeping them signals competence. Number 5. Debrief the team once the source conflict has been resolved. Do not leave them to draw their own conclusions about what happened or what it means for their safety. When to use it: as soon as you identify that a two-party conflict has begun to pull in others. When not to use it: as a substitute for addressing the source conflict. Containment buys time. It does not replace resolution. Worked example: a conflict between two senior project leads has created two visible camps in a 20-person department. The HR leader runs a conflict containment protocol with the wider team, while simultaneously working through the interest-based relational mapping process with the two leads. For guidance on managing the conflict dynamics that arise in group settings, see how to handle conflict during meetings. Eamon's note. Most managers ignore the team, while they focus on the individuals at the centre of the conflict. The team is watching you. What you do and what you fail to do tells them everything about whether this organisation is safe. Framework 6. The deal conversation method. What it is. A four-step scripted conversation method for the moment when a manager needs to have a direct, structured conversation with one or both parties about the impact of their behaviour on the team or organisation. It gives the manager a clear sequence that prevents the conversation from collapsing into either avoidance or escalation. Designed for any level of conflict where a direct managerial conversation is warranted. Particularly effective as a precursor to structured dialogue, ensuring that each party understands their accountability before a joint session begins. How it works. Number 1. Describe the specific behaviour and its observable impact. In the last 3 team meetings, you have interrupted your colleague before they finish speaking. The effect is that the rest of the team has stopped contributing. Number 2. Explore the other person's perspective with a genuine question. Help me understand what is driving that for you. Number 3. Agree on a specific, measurable behavioural change. What I need from you, starting in our next meeting, is to let colleagues finish before you respond. Number 4. Lock the commitment with a follow-up plan. I will check in with you after Friday's session. If the pattern continues, we will need to have a more formal conversation. This framework is explained in full in the article on how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy. When to use it. When a manager needs to name a problem and set a behavioural expectation clearly and without ambiguity. Works well at levels 1, 2, 3. When not to use it. At level 4 or 5, where the relationship is too damaged for a single direct conversation to hold the weight required. Worked example. A team leader repeatedly dominates project discussions. The manager uses deal to name the pattern specifically, hear the team leader's perspective, and agree on a concrete behaviour change. The conversation takes 18 minutes. The change holds. Eamon's note. The describe step is where most managers soften too much. They hint. They imply. They use the word sometimes. Be specific. Vagueness is not kindness. It is confusion dressed as consideration. Choosing the right framework, a decision guide for complex situations. The most dangerous assumption in tension management is that you have a favourite tool and all conflicts fit it. Here is a quick reference to help you match the framework to the situation. Situation start here. You do not yet know the severity conflict escalation ladder. Positions are hardened. Needs are unnamed interest-based relational mapping. Conversations keep breaking down structured dialogue protocol. Trust has been genuinely damaged trust repair sequence. The conflict has spread to the wider team conflict containment protocol. A manager needs to name a behaviour directly deal conversation method. The conflict escalation ladder is not optional. Use it before everything else, every time. It prevents you from applying a good framework to the wrong situation. Once you have a level, use the table above to find your starting point. Two frameworks often work together. Containment runs alongside the source level work. Trust repair precedes structured dialogue at level 4. The deal method prepares individuals for a joint session by naming accountability before both parties are in the room together. Think of these not as competing options, but as tools you can combine when the situation requires it. For high-stakes conversations, where feedback has played a role in the breakdown, the guidance in advanced feedback techniques will strengthen your preparation. Where these frameworks break down in practice. There are 3 specific errors I have seen experienced managers make with these systems. The mistake, skipping the diagnostic step and starting with a resolution framework. Why it happens. Pressure from above to resolve things quickly creates the illusion that action equals progress. What to do instead? Spend 30 minutes on the escalation ladder before you do anything else. A wrong diagnosis costs you weeks, not minutes. The mistake. Using the same framework for every conflict regardless of context. Why it happens. Managers become comfortable with one tool and trust it too much. What to do instead? Match the framework to the level and type of conflict. Comfort with a tool is not a sufficient reason to use it. The mistake. delivering a framework mechanically without reading the human signals in the room. Why it happens? Frameworks are taught as sequences, and under stress, people follow sequences rigidly. What to do instead? Know the steps well enough that you can hold them loosely. The framework is your compass, not your script. Building real fluency over time. Knowing six frameworks and being fluent in six frameworks are separated by about 12 months of deliberate practice. Here is a realistic path toward that fluency. Start with one framework. The escalation ladder is the best starting point because it informs everything else. Use it in every conflict situation you encounter for the first month, including minor ones. Let the diagnostic habit form before you add resolution tools. In months 2 through 4, add interest-based relational mapping and the deal method. These two cover the most common mid-level conflicts you will face. Practice each one in low-stakes situations before you reach for them in a serious case. From month 5 onward, bring in the remaining frameworks as the situations arise. Do not practice trust repair in a theoretical way. You will know when you need it. After each significant intervention, reflect on 3 things: what the framework gave you, where you felt the impulse to deviate from it, and what you would do differently next time. Reflection is the part most managers skip. It is also the part that turns knowledge into competence. Frequently asked questions. What are tension management frameworks? Tension management frameworks are structured systems that give HR leaders and managers a reliable method for diagnosing, containing, and resolving entrenched workplace conflict. They replace reactive, instinct-driven responses with clear, repeatable processes suited to the nature and severity of the tension present. How do you choose the right tension management framework for a situation? Match the framework to the conflict type, not your personal preference. Assess whether the tension is positional, relational, or structural, whether trust between parties is intact or broken, and whether the conflict involves 2 people or an entire team or department before selecting your approach. When do tension management frameworks fail to work? Frameworks fail when a manager applies them too late, after positions have hardened beyond reach, or when they skip the diagnosis phase and grab a familiar tool regardless of fit. They also fail when one or more parties have no genuine intention of resolving the conflict. Can tension management frameworks be used in group or team conflicts? Yes, and some are specifically designed for group settings. Frameworks like interest-based relational mapping and the conflict containment protocol work across teams and departments. Individual frameworks like structured dialogue or the trust repair sequence are better suited to 2-person breakdowns. How long does it take to become fluent in tension management frameworks? Genuine fluency takes 6 to 12 months of deliberate practice. Begin with one framework and apply it repeatedly in low-stakes situations before moving to the next. Fluency comes from repetition and reflection, not from memorizing the steps. What is the difference between conflict resolution and tension management? Conflict resolution targets a specific dispute and aims to end it. Tension management is broader. It addresses the conditions that generate and sustain conflict over time. Good tension management often prevents conflict from becoming a formal dispute that requires resolution. Here is the truth of it: entrenched conflict will always outlast good intentions. It has deeper roots, longer memory, and more invested parties than a single well-meaning intervention can reach. What matches it is a system applied with courage, chosen with care, and practiced enough that you can hold it steady when the pressure is highest. These tension management frameworks are not elegant theories. They are the tools I have watched work and watched fail over 60 years of human difficulty. Choose the right one. Use it with discipline. Come back to it when it stalls. That is how the ground holds. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.